broadcasting and streaming worldwide from the Golf Club Studios, it's the Golf Club Radio Show with Danielle Tucker.
Hi, Danielle. It's Ben Crenshaw.
Hey, Ben. I understand at Poipu Bay, there is a famous TV detective hazard hunting. If you would like to go hazard hunting with this famous TV detective, there is a 10:40, an 11 o'clock, and an 11:20. Makale has an 8:32 and a 10:10. Pearl Country Club, no surprise, sold out, they say. Hawaii Kai has a 9:14. Raw Hawaiian Country Club, 10:10. Bayview, 11:40. Makaha East, Veterans VGA, they're out playing. There's an 11:24 if you would like to. Wailea Gold, 12:30. Emerald, 2:10. Blue, 1:30. And Mama's Soul Fundraiser, they're all on the course. That's at Maui Nui. Aren't we fun? Partly sunny skies, windward and Mauka mainly with a few showers this morning. On the leeward side, isolated showers possibly. High today about 81. But the winds are variable to 15, so it's going to be a muggy. Northeasterly is about 15 miles an hour coming up for us this afternoon. So you know what it's going to be like and what's happening at the Alawai. What could be happening at Hawakalei? I have not had this confirmed, but it's possible a tournament will be played at Hawakalei. We've got Mark Rolfing, NBC Golf Channel analyst and commentator, and spearheading the Alawai Golf Center. Yes, that is coming up. Dr. Brian Paxton, restoration spine and sport, a little bit about over-exercising. John Strege, golf writer, and Tucker Booth, writer, professional entertainer, rapper, and podcaster. Rappers don't golf. We'll be back with Mark Rolfing after we thank the people who make this show possible.
Streaming worldwide from sunny Hawaii, it's Danielle Tucker's The Golf Club Radio Show, brought to you by these fine sponsors. MD Restoration, water, flood water, broken pipe cleanup, call 24-7, licensed contractors too. Raynor Garage Doors, steel, aluminum, and wood, ready to hang or custom made, sales and service, that's Raynor Doors. Aloha Power Equipment's new mega store is now open across from Costco Ibile. We put power at your fingertips. Aloha Power Equipment's Waipahu store and now in Ibile. And now, here's Danielle Tucker.
Let's bring him right in. Mark Rolfing, golf analyst, golf commentator, Golf Channel, NBC Sports, contributor to a book called The Dad's Advice Project. Really cool project. Proponent of, yes, a golf hub in Waikiki, the Alawai Golf Center. And Mark, I couldn't help but think, you know, if you build it, they will come. That, of course, was Field of Dreams, but it was, if you build it, he will come, but they will come, seems more apropos. Welcome into the clubhouse, Mark.
Well, thank you, Danielle. I wish you could see me this morning because my smile is ear to ear. You know, it's been a long haul. You and I have been through it together for a few years now, and I've had a lot of time and energy put into trying to create kind of the home of Hawaii golf theme at Alawai, and I wasn't really sure whether we were ever going to get there with COVID and all sorts of other political issues and just a lot of challenges along the way, but it happened. The city and county of Honolulu has been phenomenal in putting this deal together. It's the first of its kind that I know of anywhere, a public-private partnership between the city and a 501c3, and you know, talking about doing something is one thing, but when you actually can show people that you've done it and start making progress, I think you're right, and they are coming at us fast now. We're going to reopen on March 4th, the range. Everything is totally renovated there, from the inside of the building to the pro shop, where we're going to also be involved in the clubhouse. The range itself has been totally redone. It is going to be a brand new Alawai when people go out there and, wow, it's 2 weeks now.
In 2 weeks, you know, and one of the questions I got was, are the hours going to be the same? What are the hours going to be?
We're going to start with hours from 8 in the morning until 10 at night. We had originally thought, Danielle, that we would maybe open up slowly with about half the stalls. There was a lot of work that had to be done the dividers on the range. Pretty much everything had to be changed at the range. It was old. It was outdated. There was equipment that didn't work, you know, even the ball washing system and things like that. So we were going to open up slowly, but the fact is now the demand appears to be so high and so many people are just saying we can't wait to come that we're going to start on March 4th with hours from 8 to 10 at night. And if it proves that we need to get going earlier in the morning and maybe go a little later at night, then we will do it. Right now, the response has been fabulous.
Yes, and I understand you've got completely new range balls.
Yeah, how about that? You know, one of the things, I didn't talk about it too much on your show the last year or so when I knew we were getting close to making this deal, but the biggest complaint I got, and I went out there and hit balls one day. I mean, the balls didn't have any dimples. They were about maybe a 15 compression. You know, I can't hit the ball that far, you know, these days anyway. But, boy, I was hitting drives about 200 yards, and I thought, how could this be enjoyable, you know, for anybody? So, yes, we have all brand-new Callaway range balls. Pretty much everything is new there, including a whole new staff. There isn't a single person that's going to be working there. That's been involved in the past, and it's going to be a much younger crew. The University of Hawaii is going to be involved. So it's going to become a place with a different kind of feel and atmosphere.
Yeah, and of course, you know, the old-timers are welcome too, right?
Of course they are, and I spent a lot of time talking with the old-timers. Their biggest concern is, can we still go over there and pay the same price? And the answer is yes. The prices are not going up at all. It is going to be, you know, partially the experience they used to know at the driving range, but it's not going to be just a driving range anymore. You're going to be able to work on your short game. You're going to be able to putt. We're just going to have a totally comprehensive facility, and it'll be like a little mini entertainment complex that I think is going to attract a whole new customer to Alawa, younger, more diverse, and I think that'll be good in the long run. This will kind of clear a path, I think, for Alawa.
Yeah, and it's truly grow the game, because once you get kids in it, you know, they have a place where there's kids, there's older, there's teens, there's tweens, and maybe they go off to college but then come back, maybe in their 30s, and there's a whole bunch of different people, different age groups, and it gives the kids kind of mentors, if you will, certain people to look to for advice, get to know. It's wonderful bringing all these different groups, these different ages together, and that's what golf's all about.
It really is, and I don't want people on Oahu to think that Alawa is really going to be the end-all and that everybody's going to have to drive from all over the island to go to Alawa. As you read, I'm sure, part of the arrangement is that the HSJGA First Tee is going to move our headquarters from Kauai. The modular building is going in this morning, believe it or not, wow, over there at Alawa. It's going to become our new home. And I do have to thank Mary B. Porter King for having housed our organization for over 20 years on Kauai. But it was time, you know, to get ourselves into the center of activity in the islands, and that's definitely the island of Oahu. And so our main headquarters is going to be at Alawa, but we're going to have little substations not only on the neighbor islands, we're going to have them on all the major neighbor islands, but also around Oahu. There will be sort of an offshoot of our facility somewhere in Ewa. There'll be another one way out in West Oahu. There'll be one on the North Shore, probably one in Central Oahu. So this is kind of the beginning of creating a core that's going to have like tentacles that go everywhere, and there's going to be much more opportunities for kids now to be able to learn how to play the game, and that's what's going to grow the game.
What are you going to have in the pro shop?
The first thing we're going to have is logoed merchandise. If you can believe it, Danielle, Alawa Golf Course has never really had a logo.
Uh-huh.
So we have created an entire new logo. It's a beautiful diamond head image that kind of shows where we are, and it's a pretty iconic feeling type thing. And I think you'll see that on merchandise like golf shirts and hats and things like that. There'll be memorabilia. And I think just that process itself is going to create tremendous exposure for the Alawai Golf Course that it's never had. And I think that's going to make people more aware of what really is there.
Yeah. Yeah, it's really exciting. Doesn't this feel fun? I can kind of feel it in the air. Okay, let's go into something. Given the very complex nature of a business doing business with the city and county of Honolulu on their property, how did the Hawaii State Junior Golf Association, First Tee Hawaii, nonprofit entities get this done?
Well, there's a couple of things. As you know, I had been exploring and together with the city looking at the options for putting a top golf on the Alawai facility. It's a big parcel of land, 150 acres, gigantic for a municipal course. So there's lots of space out there. And the city a few years ago issued an RFP to do a top golf on the driving range site. It specifically had to be on that site. But through the process, we came to realize that a top golf physically could not be built on the driving range. That is the center of the floodplain at Alawai. And you yourself have seen that when it rains, the first thing that floods is the driving range.
Mm-hmm.
That is the low spot. And so it pretty much became clear that the driving range was not feasible as a site for top golf. So once that driving range kind of became part of the overall plan for Alawai, and once we knew that if there's going to be a top golf, it is not going to be on that part of the course, it opened up, all right, what are we going to do with the range? There's been a concessionaire in the range for the last 5 years. The numbers have been declining. The quality of the experience was not exactly what the city wanted. And so in the discussions, they talked to me about finding potentially an option for how we could make that driving range work and how we could create a new energy and new atmosphere. And I just felt like with the strength of the HSGA, JGA, and now with the merger with First Tee, and getting the PGA Tour involved, which it's now involved because of the First Tee.
Right.
We could create some energy and figure out a way to make this thing work. You know, are the kids going to run the driving range? No. Is the board of directors, you know, Tom Fargo or Mary B or Mark or David Carey? No, we're not going to run the range, but we certainly know enough people that know how to. That we were able to say to the city, we think we'd be your best option. And we got First Tee nationally to back us up and say, this is a great idea. It's going to help make our organization sustainable financially now, long term. So it was just a perfect fit at the right time.
So the income will be divvied up between the city and HSJGA First Tee Hawaii?
Correct. Revenues are going to be shared. We're not really talking at all about what the terms of the agreement are, but I can tell you it is a good deal for both sides. And in particular, the important thing for people to know is nobody's going to profit off this. There's no money going into any individual's pockets in any way, shape, or form. The dollars that are generated on the side of the operator, HSJGA First Tee, are all going back into the organization and back into the renovation of the facility itself. So I think it's a perfect scenario, and it's really going to be a game changer, I think, for golf in Hawaii. This is the beginning of creating this hub that you and I have been talking about forever.
Yes, yes. And University of Hawaii, for instance, we haven't seen a men's or a women's tournament. Could we be seeing tournaments back at the Alawai Golf Course?
I think you can. People forget and have tend to forgotten over the years just how good a golf course Alawai can be. With a little bit of money, a little bit of upgrade and love and care, it can be tournament ready very quickly. If you spend any time out at Alawai, and I have a lot the last couple of years, you never see a student of any kind playing from the University of Hawaii, let alone the golf teams. And so with that campus being just a mile away, it doesn't make any sense for that team to drive all over the island in the traffic, you know, late in the afternoons after class to try to find a place to practice. They've got one right across the street at Alawai. So we are going to create at the Golf Center an entire area for the University of Hawaii. and they're, it's going to become the home for both the men's and the women's team, which is going to help so much in the recruiting for those teams, for both Scott Simpson and Stephen Bidney and their teams. And, you know, a lot of the people that work at the range are going to be players at UH, which is going to really give it a young feel. It's almost going to feel, I think, a little bit like a camp. And that the guys and ladies that work in the range are going to be sort of like your camp counselors. It's going to be fun.
Yes, it sounds fun. Energized, energy. Now, you have a director of golf, Chris Noda. I don't think that's the title. What is the title?
Yeah, he is the director of golf operations right now. I'm not sure what it'll be long term. I can tell you we had a staff of 7 full time, and that staff is basically turned over 100%. We're putting together a whole new crew now that we're in a different business, and we're going to announce some really exciting new hires pretty quickly here. But what is going to start to happen, Danielle, is some of the other golf organizations are starting to say, oh, wow, okay, now you're going at Aloha. Maybe we want to be out there, and maybe it doesn't make sense for all these other organizations to have their own staffs and their own offices and their own executive directors. I think you'll see more consolidation under one roof, and that's been the goal from the beginning. They do it in about 15 states on the mainland. There is a golf house, and that's ultimately what you're going to see at Aloha.
A golf house. So that would be the Hawaii State Golf Association, the Hawaii State Women's Golf Association. Are we also talking about the Aloha section?
You know, not yet, but I would think it's going to make sense down the line. If you look at the Hawaii State Golf Association, for example, Paul Ogawa does a great job running that organization. He's got 3 employees along with himself. That's a 4-person staff. Would it make sense to consider consolidating these 2 groups at Aloha and make the headquarters? I think it's certainly a discussion that's going to be had. That was one that we couldn't even have before because we didn't have a home.
That's right.
And nobody wanted to move to the island of Kauai. They love Kauai, but it was just not a place to headquarter for golf in Hawaii.
Yeah, okay. Another question that came up, and you've kind of addressed it, but not. Whatever happened to Top Golf? That was the question that I've got on social media, one of the platforms. It's not over, right?
No, not by any means. Top Golf is definitely not dead. The two things have happened here. The first is, and the project at Aloha was put on pause when COVID came because all of Top Golf was put on pause. You know, there was no way they could function with the COVID restrictions, and so they went on pause. They're back now, you know, opening 10 new facilities every year. I think they opened 9 last year. They're going to open 10 this year across America. So Topgolf is doing extremely well. But through that process and during that pause was the time we realized, okay, it's not going to work on the driving range. If it's going to be at Aloha, where is it going to be? So those other options at Aloha are being examined right now. The most important thing is with this new relationship with the Army Corps of Engineers and the city, we're starting to realize that the Aloha Golf Course parcel is going to become the center of this flood mitigation program that's going to save Waikiki from the 500-year storm.
Right.
All that work is not going to be done probably for years because it's going to take a long time. It's a very important project and needs a lot of study. But because that is now front and center and everybody realized the Aloha Golf Course is so valuable to it, it's forcing us to kind of take a look at where should Top Golf be on that parcel? How should all of Aloha work together? And the answer is it's not on the driving range. Not to mention, Danielle, that when we talked with the community about Top Golf, the one complaint that we heard was the regular golfers and the people that loved the driving range didn't want to be forced to go inside a Top Golf just to hit practice balls. So saving the range now and having that be a place along with a potential Top Golf I think it's going to really service a lot more people in the community and make way more people happy.
Oh, yes. Oh, yes. It feels so much better now having the driving range be the driving range and the practice facility with this fabulous new putting green that's been put in place and a chipping area. The kids are out. The UH is playing. They're practicing. And then having an entertainment facility, the likes of Top Golf, on a different section of the course. You know, I was thinking there's a corner way down yonder that's not utilized that much, and that might be a really good idea. It's a great idea. It's a great idea. This is Mark Rolfing. Mark Rolfing is golf analyst and golf commentator for Golf Channel and NBC Sports, and has been a proponent of a golf hub in Waikiki, of course, the Top Golf as well, for a long time. And coming to fruition now is the Alawai Golf Center, and it's going to open up on March 4th. But one of the things we talked about a long, long time ago, Mark, you're a Hall of Famer, a Hawaii Hall of Famer. And I was wondering, remember when we talked about having the Hawaii Hall of Fame, all the plaques at the Alawai Golf Course clubhouse area? Is that still something that could be done?
That is something that is going to be done, I can tell you that, because I've got a plaque that's going to be in there, and I'm very proud of it, and I want to make sure that, you know, there's enough light that people can actually see it. It's all going to be part of what is, I think, an entire transformation of Alawai. And, you know, golf has always been a game where change has been difficult for 400 years. It's kind of been that way, and we really need to change. You were talking about the chipping area that we're creating, which is going to be a phenomenal area. One of my first impressions of Alawai was how many signs there are around that say no chipping. You're not allowed to chip anywhere. No chipping on the, you know, at the putting green. No chipping anywhere. And I told Chris Noda Wednesday when I was out there, the first sign that we're going to have is a sign that says, chipping is mandatory. And the reason I say that, it's kind of a joke, but we want to encourage it, because I said nobody's ever going to get any better if they don't work on their short game. That's the most important part of the game. So,
yes.
You're going to be able to kind of have a total golf experience there. We're going to have club fitting and obviously all different kinds of instruction and events, and it's just going to be a totally comprehensive golf experience. It's almost going to be like a Top Golf experience, which is, you know, a lot of things, but not with a big building like that. And it's not Top Golf. It's us. It's Alawai. So I think people are really going to enjoy it.
Yeah, I'm thrilled, absolutely thrilled. And the idea of that, you know, from little kids to old timers, we're all welcome, and it'll be a lot of fun, a lot of energy, and there's nothing like feeling the energy of kids when you're getting older. You know, you just can't help but feel it, and it makes you feel younger. Thank you so much. Have I left anything out that you wanted to mention? Hawakalei, LPGA Lotte, have you heard anything about where the LPGA Lotte will be played this year? It's almost April.
Yeah, I know. It's been a difficult process, but I'm pretty sure it's going to end up at Hawakalei. There's still a few details to be ironed out on that, but I think Hawakalei would be a great site for that event, and I think that's going to get done.
Wonderful. And Annika Sorenstam's playing in the U.S. Women's Open. So much news, so much we could cover, but we're going to have to wrap it today as we watch, you know, Phil Mickelson meltdown. So bizarre.
Yeah, thanks for not asking me about him. I appreciate it very much. I'll be in the Golf Central Studios next week in Connecticut, so I'll have enough time to talk about it.
Okay. Thank you, Mark Rolfing, golf analyst, golf commentator for Golf Channel and NBC Sports, and the spearhead who brought us the Alawai Golf Center. Thanks for being on the show.
All right. Thank you for your support, Danielle.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Aloha. Coming back, we're going to talk about, you know, a lot of people get out there and bang balls night and day. And that may not be, you know, trying to get more distance, more distance. It may not what you're physically built to do the way you're doing it. You know, I don't want to put a kibosh on your plans to, you know, hit a 300. But sometimes you don't want to hurt yourself. And we see it in golf so much. I mean, Bryson DeChambeau is not playing because he's hurt himself. I think it's a hip. We're going to be talking about that part, the pelvis, the hip area, as we've got Dr. Brian Paxton on with us after this. My name is Danielle Tucker. This is The Golf Club.
Stay tuned. We'll be hitting the greens with Danielle Tucker when we return to The Golf Club.
Aloha Power Equipment has moved from Sand Island to Ibilay. Their new superstore is open at 500 Alakava, located across from Home Depot's Ibilay parking structure. Honda, Maruyama, Shindaiwa, Echo, Milwaukee, Steel, riding mowers, robotic mowers, chainsaws, weed whackers, generators, blowers, they've got it all.
Aloha.
Waipahu and now Ibilay.
Power Equipment.
We put power at your fingertips. Aloha Power Equipment.
I'm Paul Morikawa, 2020 PGA Champion. In every golf journey, some goals can feel like an uphill climb, even intimidating, especially if you're on your own. But in the game of golf, helping hands are all around us. Whether you dream of a championship or you're just trying to make golf your thing, PGA coaches have industry-leading knowledge, guidance, and support to help you take the next step. Just like my PGA coach, Rick Sessinghouse, has always done for me. Wherever your golf journey is headed, a PGA coach can get you there. Find your PGA coach at pga.com/coach.
What does your company sell? Do you provide a service, fill a need, sell insurance or real estate for that must-have new car? Become a sponsor of Danielle Tucker's The Golf Club radio show. We reach a pure target audience of business owners. Let us help you. We have affordable rates and it's easy to do. Just email rick@radiogolfclub.com or call Rick at 808-220-1000. Reach the people like you who are too busy running their business. That's Rick at radiogolfclub.com or call 808-220-1000.
And we're very honored to have the support of the Aloha Section PGA. The best way to get good at this game is to learn from a teaching professional who spent considerable time becoming a teaching professional, a PGA. So be sure to find one. Just give your golf course nearby a call, book a lesson, a full-time PGA status. It takes study and passing courses, leading to members taking the PGA Director of Golf Program and the PGA Advanced Degree, because they love the game and they love teaching. You'll learn. We'll be back after this.
Wow, what a beautiful day. Let's go back in the clubhouse and listen to Danielle Tucker.
Dr. Brian Paxton, PT, DPT, physical therapist, manual spine therapist, Restoration Spine and Sport, Titleist Performance Institute, innovative manual therapy and performance therapy. Welcome into the clubhouse, Dr. Paxton.
Thanks, Danielle. It's great to be on the show again. I'm really excited about it.
Yes, and Colin Morikawa. I mean, Colin Morikawa, you know, we love him here because his family is partly from here. Part of his family is from here. And it was really something else to see him not show up because he'd hurt his back. It was like, wait a second, Colin Morikawa, what is he, 23? Maybe 22. I mean, he's really young. And the last quarter of this past year, he left the Northern Trust because, I don't know, he hurt himself. And then you sent a workout video, and he's got what, is that a 25-pound weight that he's holding chest level, lunging stance, rotating that weight around his torso? But his back is, like, swayed. You pointed that out. What were your thoughts when you saw that?
Yeah, so, you know, with the excessive amount of extension in the spine that he demonstrated during that exercise, and he was actually taking that plate, Danielle, and actually circling overhead with it, which creates an axial load through the spine as well. just not a great position we want that spine in, especially considering the history, you know, with his back. He's had, you know, pulled muscles, some nerve injury. You know, they actually, you know, took him off the course and took him out of competition. So, you know, we want to make sure that we're not performing an exercise for the sake of performing it when we don't have the requisite range of motion in the spine to perform it without putting stress on the spine.
What was that exercise designed to strengthen?
That exercise really is focused on increasing shoulder mobility and stability.
Okay, so is there a different way of doing it without putting yourself in... If you've got a back problem, I know we're talking about backs again, but this also impacts the hip area. When you've got that kind of an issue going on, what else could you be doing other than using that weight in that stance over the head, as you described?
Yeah, there are a lot of different options. You know, first you want to assess the golfer, the athlete, and see, you know, does he have range of motion in the shoulder overhead that will allow him to perform that activity without having to compensate and extend through the spine. So, you know, we have a lot of tests that we can perform to see, you know, does that golfer have the mobility? Is that actually a good exercise for him? Or do we need to, you know, take him maybe down to the ground and work on some stability and mobility and then work on bringing him back up? So, you know, we have a lot of options, but we have to screen the golfer and see, you know, what type of range of motion do they have, and give them what's best for their body, because every golfer is different. Every athlete is different in their ranges of motion, in their movement patterns, in their posture. So I have a saying, N of one, when I'm working with a golfer, meaning that we've got to tailor make a program for them based on their structure and their movement patterns.
Kind of like, you know, Arnold Palmer, swing your own swing.
That's correct.
Right? I mean, we've all got our own body, like you said, we all are our own bodies. We got to know our bodies. And then your swing comes naturally through your body type. And then you work on strengthening safely the different parts of your body to enhance that personal swing, I would think. Now, one thing popped in my mind when you said, you know, I didn't realize that he was compensating in that stance, that lunge stance with his back so in a swayed position. Why wasn't his physical trainer, the trainer there, stopping him from doing that?
Yeah, that's a good question. You know, that's, again, oftentimes a trainer may not have a deep knowledge of biomechanics of the spine. They may not consider that to be a bad position, but you know, it is not a good position to load the spine in. So you know, I would hope that you know, we would have a little more awareness of that, considering that he was struggling previous to that at workout with his back, and you know, again, it put him out of competition. So
yeah, just like Bryson, as I mentioned at the Open, Bryson DeChambeau, he's injured now. He's talking about his hip a little bit.
Yeah,
and
his
wrist. Right now, have you heard amongst the conversations that I'm sure you guys in the industry have about injuries and golfers? What's going on there?
Yeah, so, you know, hip pain is among the top four most common sites of pain and injury for golfers. You know, he essentially came out and said publicly that it was the pain in his hip had resulted from a fall that he had had. With that said, you know, we've had a lot of golfers recently with hip problems. So Koepka's a good example. You know, he had a torn labrum. So the hip is definitely a site that we need to make sure that the golfer has adequate mobility, stability, so that they can perform, you know, at a high level and not be at risk for injury. So 60% of the cases, when the hip is actually the source of pain, it's not recognized at the time of evaluation. And then typically it's managed for about 7 months before it's diagnosed as an actual hip problem. So it's very often missed in the golf population as being the source of the problem.
Wow. What would cause the hip to be in pain?
Yeah, so the most common cause is what we call femoroacetabular impingement, which is basically the ball of the hip is pinching up against the cup of the hip.
Oh.
And that can cause significant pain, but also it can potentially cause what's called a labral tear, which is a tear of the cup-shaped rim of cartilage that reinforces the hip ball and socket. And that's an important tissue in the hip, the labrum, because it increases the depth of the socket up to about 21%, which creates a lot of stability in the hip. And when you injure that, the labrum actually creates a type of vacuum seal that actually gives the hip stability and helps distribute forces. So when you tear that labrum, Danielle, they actually, when they go in and repair the labrum, they can't actually repair that seal. So now you've got essentially an unstable hip that's now more susceptible to arthritic changes in the hip. So it becomes very important after a labral tear to reinforce the neuromuscular stability of the hip with the right exercises, make sure that we don't have a compensatory position of the pelvis, which can really contribute heavily to this impingement in the hip joint.
Yeah, there's that, and then the knee is compensating, and then the foot is compensating, and pretty soon your swing is completely thrown off by your compensating, so you need to stop, I imagine.
Yes, the knee is right there just below as well, but also the low back is a big key factor here. So, you know, the hip, pelvis, and low back work in concert together, so you know, we see a lot of issues that that may start at the hip and become a low back issue, or actually we might just have the set joints that aren't moving well, whether they should, so we compensate for that lack of motion in the lumbar spine in the hip and the pelvis, and that can cause an impingement as well. So you have to really look up and down what we call the kinetic chain to see, you know, what other contributing factors might be causing compensation that can lead to a hip impingement.
All right. So there are two ways of, you know, we got to either avoid having that happen to us, or if it does, what do we do about it? Which way would you like to go?
Yeah. So if you start having pain on the front of your hip, and we have something called a C sign, where basically you make a C with your thumb and your index finger, and you wrap your thumb around the outside of your hip, and then your index finger is right on the front of your hip. If you have pain that presents there, that's typically going to be indicative of a hip problem. So, you know, maybe an impingement, maybe a labral issue, but that's kind of the telltale. If you have pain in the back of the hip, usually that indicates a lower back problem, not an actual hip problem. So, you know, if you have that problem and you have that pain when you're playing golf, when you're walking, when you're doing your activities of daily life, then you need to have that evaluated by a physical therapist or, you know, a rehab professional so that you can go ahead and find out what's going on and address that issue before it becomes potentially worse. We don't want it to progress into, you know, arthritic changes in the hip or a labral tear.
And so there are exercises possibly, or some procedure to do that would not, I don't mean going to a doctor for that kind of procedure. I mean something we could do ourselves at home that could strengthen a part that would take the pain away?
Yeah, repositioning the pelvis is very helpful. So typically what I see is as the pelvis orients or tips forward as a unit, you imagine the pelvis is a bowl, it's spilling water out of the front. So it's tipping forward, and that actually decreases the space in the hip joint. So now you're more likely to have an impingement as you're rotating in the golf swing. So there are exercises we can do to reorient that pelvis more posteriorly back into a more more neutral position. There's, we don't have a measurement for neutral, but essentially we're reducing that anterior orientation. So there are manual therapies as well if we have restrictions at the SI joint, if we have loss of motion in the lumbar spine, then we have to address that. And we can, you know, also have basically issues down at the knee and all the way down to the foot, Danielle, that can contribute to compensation up in the hip and in the pelvic region as well.
Yeah, and all of that in a golf swing. I mean, your feet, your hip, your the turn, you know, it's, let me ask you this. Is the golf swing, if you're not careful, kind of harmful to the body? I mean, it, because we're such a complex, all these joints, all these parts, all, you know, the sinew that makes us up, it seems like if we don't be careful, we could hurt ourselves.
Yes, I'll give you some statistics here. So the National Health Statistics study recently done investigated 8.6 million sports and recreation related injuries, and it actually showed that violent sports were not responsible for most of the injuries. Most injuries were sustained during exercise, and the report also showed that golf is actually more dangerous than rugby. I'm sure you know what, rugby is essentially American football without pads.
Yes, yes, and they tend to pull at each other very violently.
Yes.
Yes.
So another study done by the British Journal of Sports Medicine showed that, amateur golfers on an annual basis have a 15 to 40% injury rate. Professional golfers, much, much higher, 31 to 90% annually will have an injury. So, yeah, golf can be, you know, a dangerous sport if we don't have the prerequisite motion in the body. And it's very important, you know, obviously I'm like asking a barber if you need a haircut, but I think every golfer should at some point have their body evaluated to see, you know, where they might be compensating, where they might have a lack of motion in the joints in the body and soft tissues that might, you know, make them susceptible to an injury. And, you know, no one wants to get hurt playing golf, because then you can't play. So you can't enjoy the game. And, you know, unfortunately, some people end up on the surgical table because of it.
So. Yeah, yeah. And that's, you know, that's the last thing you want. It, I mean, it, just because it's a long time recovery. And when you recover, you've got to be even more careful, because you have a part of your body that's already weakened by the intrusion. You know, believe me, I have had an intrusion. So I speak from personal experience. So you just have to be so, so careful. But I'd kind of like to wrap up with this wonderful quote that you gave me from Jason Day. No one used to work out in the game. That's what he was referring to. He's endured, of course, his share of everything from thumb injury to back problems to vertigo. You know Jason Day's story. This is a quote again.
Yeah.
We're working harder in the gym and working harder overall, but the biggest thing is, hopefully, we're doing the right things. I think for a long time, I wasn't doing the right things in the gym, and that's why my body was breaking down. You find more power and torque, but sooner or later, the body can't handle it. That's where we go back to body type. I, in my humble estimation of things, what do you take from that?
Well, again, you have to train based on what your body can do. So a lot of people are going in the gym and they're working out. They might find a golf exercise routine on YouTube, or you know, find just a generalized personal trainer at the gym, and they say, well, I want to work out to improve my golf game. And you know, they're actually doing things that are harmful to their body, because it's not conducive with their structure and with their ranges of motion that they have in their body. So they're forcing positions and loads. And, you know, if we constantly train with load, we can also compress our joints and we begin to lose more and more range of motion. So, you know, we see a lot of the guys on tour now that are really bulking up, and you know, they're losing the relative motions in their joints as time goes on, and they bulk up and build more strength if they're not doing work to counteract that in the gym. So there are things we can do to counteract the compressive forces on our body and the compressive nature of resistance training and the effects that it has, the detrimental effects it has on our mobility and stability.
Marvelous. You know, folks, Rudy Nieswanger, am I pronouncing his name correctly?
Dr. Very Paxton. Close, not Nieswanger. It's a tough name.
Nieswanger?
Yes.
Okay, Rudy Nieswanger, former NFL center for Kansas City Chiefs, says Dr. Paxton has magic hands and literally flies from coast to coast to have Dr. Paxton work on him. And if you're an NFL center for any length of time, you probably need a lot of work. I when I read that, I went, wow, you must be something. As I said before, I wish you were here. I wish you'd come by and just fly on over. Won't take long. That would be fantastic because I could use your magic hands.
Well, we're gonna get me over there eventually. I think we're gonna keep working on it.
Okay, that's great, and we'll keep having you on the show.
Wonderful. Thanks again so much for having me on the show, Danielle. It's been a pleasure.
Thank you. It's always a pleasure. Dr. Brian Paxton, PT and DPT, physical therapist, manual spine therapist, and owner of Restoration Spine and Sport. John Strege, author of 5 books, including 18 Holes with Bing, Golf Life and Lessons from My Dad with Nathaniel Crosby and John Strege, When War Played Through, Golf During World War II, A Snowflake Named Hannah, Ethics, Faith, and the First Adoption of a Frozen Embryo, Tiger, A Biography of Tiger Woods, and Tiptoeing Through Hell, Playing the U.S. Open on Golf's Most Treacherous Courses. He'll be with us after this. My name is Danielle Tucker. This is The Golf Club.
Stay tuned. We'll be hitting the greens with Danielle Tucker when we return to the Golf Club.
Poipu Bay on Kauai's South Shore. Share our home where the Grand Slam lives. Need a gift for that special someone? Tired of giving fruit baskets you know are getting recycled? Give a Poipu Bay golf gift certificate. Whether it's a birthday, business, or anniversary, here's the one gift that is always the right size and the perfect date. Just give us a call and it will be waiting for you to pick up or mail to your office. There may even be time to sneak in a 9. Call us for the perfect gift, where great golf is played every day at Poipu Bay on the Garden Isle.
Aloha Power Equipment has moved from Sand Island to Evilay. Their new superstore is open at 500 Alakava, located across from Home Depot's Evilay parking structure. Honda, Maruyama, Shindaiwa, Echo, Milwaukee, Steel, riding mowers, robotic mowers, chainsaws, weed whackers, generators, blowers, they've got it all.
Aloha.
Waipahu and now Evilay.
Power Equipment.
We put power at your fingertips. Aloha Power Equipment.
Got a disaster in your business, high-rise, or home? Call MD Restoration, 24/7 emergency and disaster restoration service. We are totally COVID compliant. Floods, dirty water cleanup, fire damage repair, mold remediation, smoke damage, asbestos abatement, carpet and upholstery cleaning. Call 528-3434. We're also a licensed general contractor, insurance company experts. Need help now? MD Restoration takes the stress out of your disaster. Get MD cleaned now. Call 528-3434. Here's the local rule sign. Keep it in the fairway. It speeds up play. Now, back to Danielle Tucker.
John Strege has authored 5 books, and he's a winner of the 2005 USJ International Book Award. Covered the MLB, NFL, the Olympics, boxing, golf for Orange County Register for 19 years. And his bio on Twitter says he's the master of the duck hook. we can all relate. 18 Holes with Bing, Golf Life and Lessons from Dad by Nathaniel Crosby and John Strege. When War Played Through, Golf During World War II. A Snowflake Named Hannah, Ethics, Faith, and the First Adoption of a Frozen Embryo. I'd really like to talk to John about that one day. Tiger, a biography of Tiger Woods, and Tiptoeing Through Hell, playing at the U.S. Open on golf's most treacherous courses. Welcome into the clubhouse, John.
Danielle, it's always a great pleasure to do your show. It's one of the best.
Thank you very, very much. And I've got to say, have you been keeping up with Phil and Saudi Arabia at all?
I have, quite a bit. And it puzzles me, you know, what his end game is. You know, with those quotes that surfaced, I don't know if it was yesterday or the day before, from Alan Shipnook's book, from an interview in November. I don't know if Phil was thinking he was off the record when he gave those quotes, because that, you know, he gave away the game. He's doing it for leverage. So it's hard to figure out what's going to happen. But, I don't think it's good for golf. I don't think it's good for anybody. I mean, this is Saudi Arabia we're talking about. To me, it's similar. The Olympics shouldn't be in China right now. It's the same deal.
Totally understand. Agreed. And what's interesting is someone said that Phil is having a very difficult time right now, so we should be more understanding. He actually sold his airplane, which he loved like a fourth child, was pretty much the quote. And when they heard that he sold his jet, can you imagine having enough money to own a jet? So he sold his jet, has reportedly, don't know this for a fact at all, some kind of, you know, gambling problems, and therefore is, you know, feeling the pinch. And he's really disgruntled that he doesn't have the media rights that the PGA Tour holds to all the footage of his great moments in history that he would like to put on his social media sites, et cetera, et cetera. I mean, he's going on. And one of the quotes that John Strege was talking about is Phil admitted that to Alan Shipnook in this book that's going to be Phil, the rip-roaring and unauthorized biography of golf's most colorful superstar. Well, he certainly is living up to that title at this point. We know they killed Khashoggi and have a horrible record on human rights. They execute people over there for being gay. Knowing all of this, why would I even consider it? Because this is a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity to reshape how the PGA Tour operates. They've been able to get by with manipulative, coercive, strong-arm tactics because we, the players, had no recourse. As nice a guy as Monahan comes across, unless you have leverage, he won't do what's right. And the Saudi money has given us leverage. He's actually gone out, folks, this is no longer the quote, and hired attorneys to help write the new deal that the Saudis are now luring the PGA Tour players to their Saudi Tour, or whatever you want to call it. So when you, the more we hear about this, the more you're absolutely right. John, he just seems to be out to do exactly what he wanted to do to the PGA Tour, but couldn't do it, whether he was unionizing or whatever it was. Now, I was thinking of you. If you had been in this position that Alan Shipnook was in, you'd finished a book and he's just doing the finishing touches, and then all of this stuff comes to him. It's like, my goodness, it's like Bob Herrig. He's writing a book about Phil and Tiger. And
right.
And then Phil wins, you know, a major at the age of 50 on the PGA Tour. Tiger almost loses his leg in an automobile accident. He's got to rewrite. That must be like, does that take you back or make you excited?
Well, it does take me back somewhat, because, first of all, writing a book is an ordeal, you know.
That's
and I'm
right.
sure Alan you know, I know he wanted the interview with Phil anyway, and I'm sure he thought he was at the end of it, and then he gets these quotes. But again, you know, I'm wondering if he was off the record, and I'm not accusing Helen of anything. He's a friend, but, you know, sometimes you come across stuff that's, you know, too good to not use. So, but the way he timed it, you know, and Alan's a smart guy, and so are these publishers. He's finished writing the book. He comes out with his statement now when the Saudi thing is heating up, comes out with Phil's statement. And the book is shot to number one golf book on Amazon.com, and it doesn't come out for another 4 or 5 months. But people are already pre-ordering it. So, I mean, it was a brilliant play on Alan and the publisher's part.
Wow. But, so it's.
I feel bad for Bob Herrig. You mentioned Bob, and I know Bob really well. That's going to be a great book, and, you know, now nobody's talking about that. They're all talking about Phil and Alan Shipnuck's book. And I know you've had Bob Herrig on quite a bit. He's a great guy.
He is. He really is. He's a wonderful person. Are you working on a book now?
You know, I am not. I'm still on a small retainer with Golf Digest to help out when needed. I'm always trying to think of book ideas, but I'm not working on one. But still kind of a little bit active for Golf Digest, and I'll be going to the Dinosaur, as I'll always call it, the final one at Mission Hills. I'll be doing that again. I think I first did it in 1985, so
wow.
I'm looking forward to that week.
Yeah, truly. I'm still thinking about something that our doctor earlier said about golf being the most dangerous sport, even more dangerous than rugby. The things that some of these guys are getting themselves into with all of their workout ethics, and it's such a different game. When you said 1985, did anybody work out back then in 1985?
Not very much, unless you call, you know, lifting a cocktail after the round is working out. But I agree, and it's not only golf. I mean, I look at baseball, and I know this is a golf show, but look at all the players. They work out. They're in better shape than they've ever been, and they're hurt more than they've ever been. We're seeing the same thing in golf now. You know, Bryson DeChambeau being the best example. I think you can probably overdo it.
Absolutely.
I'm not an expert on that, but that's my thinking.
Yeah, no, I totally agree. Now, I as I said in the opening, I really am curious. You know, 18 holes with Bing, that's golf. When War played through golf during World War II, A Tiger, a biography of Tiger Woods, and Tiptoeing Through Hell, playing the U.S. Open on golf's most treacherous courses. It doesn't help that the USGA sets them up even worse, right? But A Snowflake Named Hannah, Ethics, Faith, and the First Adoption of a Frozen Embryo. Is that your story?
Yeah, that is our story, yeah. My wife and I had fertility issues, and we basically started this movement about there's so many frozen embryos. You know, in the United States alone, the number is more than 1 million. People don't know what to do with them after their infertility treatments. And my wife wanted to experience pregnancy, and so we sort of inadvertently started a movement.
Wow. How did you select the embryo?
We went through a Christian adoption agency, and they actually, somebody called in to that adoption agency as we're talking to them about can we do this, and said they had frozen embryos left over and didn't know what to do with them and was wondering if anybody could adopt them. So it all came together that way. And our daughter's now 23 years old in grad school at Baylor University, majoring in social work.
That's perfect. What kind of, I mean, social work is something you would do with somebody who is, you know, having issues. And I imagine, did any of this process of making it legal to adopt an embryo? Did you have to go through a long process?
It was about a two-year process because it had never been done before, and we wanted to treat it just like any other adoption. So we had an adoption attorney and went through all the things you have to do to adopt, you know, including background checks and, you know, fingerprints and home studies and stuff. But yeah, it was quite a process. And I should note that Hannah does want to get into the adoption field.
There you go.
That's one of the reasons she's doing the social work, getting her master's. So
yeah,
we think it's fantastic.
It is fantastic. And you started an entire trend.
Yes, I mean they're doing it. It's not just it's Snowflake's embryo adoption program is the one that we were involved with, Nightlight Christian Adoptions. But there are other agencies around the country now doing it. So because people recognize this is a problem, you got these embryos in frozen storage, and they don't know what to do with them, and they don't want to use them for research purposes.
Oh no, that would yeah.
Oh. So that's we did. So I don't know. I don't know what the number is around the country that has produced, you know, saved these embryos and produced live births. So wow. I think it's a good solution.
Wow. Oh goodness. Well, that's our lives.
I appreciate you asking, though.
Yeah. Well, no kidding. I mean, somebody listening may not have even thought that was a possibility, as they deal with, you know, their own issues in life, right? And so it's something to look into. And you wrote an entire book. So it's a snowflake named Hannah, Ethics, Faith, and the First Adoption of a Frozen Embryo. And like a legal adoption, you wouldn't want them, the parent, the parent of the embryo to come back and say, well, thank you very much. Now I have that's my child.
Yes.
And you say that's kind of far. No, it's not far-fetched at all. These kinds of things are probably that not unlikely. You know what? You're going to the Dinosaur, and I totally understand why you're going to call it that from now until it moves to Texas. And then it'll be the Chevron, which is wonderful that they're sponsoring it. I couldn't help but think of Annika Sorenstam going to play in a U.S. Women's Open again. She's, you know, just, and it just seems it's so wonderful to see her getting out and competing and just barnstorming her way.
It's fantastic. I mean, I watched the U.S. Women's Senior Open last summer, which she won, I want to say 8 shots.
Yes.
And it was so much fun watching her. And it's so great that she's back trying to compete. And you know she'll work hard on her golf game leading up to the U.S. Women's Open because, you know, she's got a lot of pride. And, you know, I don't think at this stage of her life she can contend, but I think it's fantastic that she's going to play.
Yes. And I think contending, I wouldn't put it yes, we've got some really, really, really strong golfers. And I'm wondering about the mental mindset of Annika and how she prepares herself mentally for the competition. And since that was one of her strong suits, the idea of challenging herself up against some of the, you know, Nelly Korda, some of the, you know, Shun Kim, her name, number one from Korea. Her name went out. Yeah, and her name went out of my mind. We know who we're talking about. I apologize very much. Those are challenges that she would want to rise to the occasion, wouldn't you think?
She would. Yeah, there's no question. I mean, she's one of these really special athletes. You know, they have them in every sport. You can almost never count them out. I mean, back to Phil Mickelson at 50 years old winning the PGA Championship. No one saw that coming. But if you can play yourself into contention, you know, if she does, watch out. Because, you know, she knows how to close. She knows how to win.
That's right. Exactly.
I don't think you ever lose that.
No. It's like Tiger. I mean, Tiger Woods wants to play again, but he knows that he can only play so much. So how do you prepare for that? And he's, you know, mentally and physically knowing what your limitations are. Do you see him? How can I even ask this question? Of course we see him coming back, right?
You know, it's the more I hear, it's like he cannot play a full schedule anymore, so it's going to be picking his spots. I think he will play again, but I just can't see him. I guarantee he's not going to play to the level he did before because he was dominant. But I have a hard time believing he could win again.
Yes, it's difficult. But when I say come back, I don't mean come back and dominate. I mean just come back.
Right. Yeah. Well, I think the whole golf world would love to see that. And I think he will, you know, pick a flat course. You know, Augusta, he's not going to be ready for Augusta in April at all those hills. But, you know, pick a course like Hilton Head. It's flat.
Yes.
Kind of narrow, but it's flat. And he can probably walk a course like that.
We'd love to have him at the Sony Open in Hawaii. That would be...
And there's another flat course. Yes.
It would be so cool to have him there. It would be so cool.
It would be awesome.
Yeah. Yeah. Interesting, Tiger brought up something. He was asked a question about Phil and everything. And he said about media rights in particular and Phil Mickelson's rants. He said that Larry Rinker, back in the, I guess, late 80s, early 90s, tried to unionize the tour?
Right. You know, and the point nobody's really brought up is the tour already is a union. That's what the A in PGA is. It's an association, you know, and if Phil wants to try to change things within the PGA Tour, if you get enough players on board within that tour, you can make the changes that Phil wants to see made. So it's, you know, that's how a union works. So all this, you know, I did see a reader comment that, boy, you know, they're driving the PGA Tour into forming a union, and my point is it's already a union. If enough players want to get rid of Monahan, for example, they could.
They could.
So, yes. Yeah.
I will just watch and marvel at the language. And that was a really good point, that you think it was possibly off the record and too good to not put on the record. Thank you.
Yes.
Thank you very much for being on the show, John Strege.
It's always my pleasure. Thank you, Danielle.
Thanks. Aloha. Going to come back. And I had the pleasure of being, you know, it's very strange being interviewed, but he made it very easy. His name's Tucker Booth, writer, professional entertainer, rapper, podcaster. Rappers don't golf. Oh, yes, they do. Tucker Booth does. We'll be back with him after this. My name is Danielle Tucker, and this is The Golf Club.
Stay tuned. We'll be hitting the greens with Danielle Tucker when we return to the Golf Club.
Aloha Power Equipment has moved from Sand Island to Evilay. Their new superstore is open at 500 Alakava, located across from Home Depot's Evilay parking structure. Honda, Maruyama, Shindaiwa, Echo, Milwaukee, Steel, riding mowers, robotic mowers, chainsaws, weed whackers, generators, blowers, they've got it all.
Aloha.
Waipahu and now Evilay.
Power Equipment.
We put power at your fingertips. Aloha Power Equipment.
KORL, Waianae, Honolulu.
I'm Colin Morikawa, 2020 PGA Champion. In every golf journey, some goals can feel like an uphill climb, even intimidating, especially if you're on your own. But in the game of golf, helping hands are all around us. Whether you dream of a championship or you're just trying to make golf your thing, PGA coaches have industry-leading knowledge, guidance, and support to help you take the next step. Just like my PGA coach, Rick Sessinghouse, has always done for me. Wherever your golf journey is headed, a PGA coach can get you there. Find your PGA coach at pga.com/coach.
Poipu Bay on Kauai's South Shore. Share our home where the Grand Slam lives. Need a gift for that special someone? Tired of giving fruit baskets you know are getting recycled? Give a Poipu Bay golf gift certificate. Whether it's a birthday, business, or anniversary, here's the one gift that is always the right size and the perfect date. Just give us a call and it will be waiting for you to pick up or mail to your office. There may even be time to sneak in a nine. Call us for the perfect gift, where great golf is played every day at Poipu Bay on the Garden Isle.
Whatever your trade, you need more customers. Filling your restaurants, buying your cars, renovating high-rises, using your realty company, buying insurance from you, putting air conditioning in their offices. You need customers. Get them by advertising on Danielle Tucker's The Golf Club. We have great quality listeners like yourself with ad packages that start at just a few $100s. Call Rick at 808-220-1000 or email him, rick@radiogolfclub.com. That's rick@radiogolfclub.com. Our listeners are consumers too.
Got my new book, 3 Tips to Play Better Golf. Practice, practice, practice. Now, back to Danielle Tucker.
Hey, Tucker Booth, professional entertainer, writer, rapper, raconteur, golfer? Well, his podcast is called Rappers Don't Golf. Welcome into the clubhouse, Tucker.
Hi, Danielle. How are you? It's good to be here with you.
It's good to be with you. Now, why do you call yourself, your podcast, Rappers Don't Golf?
You know, it's funny because the more savvy people that I bring on my show always take me to task about the title. They're like, what do you mean rappers don't golf? I've got friends that are rappers that golf. Snoop Dogg golfs. I mean, everybody golfs. So, okay, let me be clear. Rappers don't golf with Tucker Booth. They don't golf with me. They do golf. They just don't golf with me. I was a singer, guitarist, rocker, rapper in my younger years, and I still am now. But, you know, over the years I got into golf, Danielle, and the hip-hop community in St. Louis, Missouri, where I came from before I moved to L.A., not so hip to the golfing with the hip-hop. They didn't think that that went together, and I got roasted for it quite a few times. And everybody kept saying that rappers don't golf. So, again, rappers do golf, they just don't golf with Tucker Booth.
Okay, well, Alice Cooper golfs, and if Alice Cooper can golf, then rappers can golf. For heaven's sakes, what's wrong with those people?
Well, no, and Alice Cooper is a great representative for the rocker golf community, so bless you, Alice Cooper. I appreciate that it keeps you out of the bar.
Yes, well, yes, and it keeps him active and happy. And what is the frozen food section?
Okay, so when I was in my early 20s and I got out of college, my best buddy Jonathan Getchman and I started a record label called the Frozen Food Section. And basically it is a alternative rock and hip-hop record label that specialized in making music that was definitely outside the mainstream but was kind of wildly innovative and absolutely about kind of breaking with the norms of pop music at the time.
Wow. So do you still perform? Do you still record?
Absolutely. And yeah, the Frozen Food section still exists. And if you want to go and check it out, it's thefrozenfoodsection.com. But yeah, absolutely. I do all kinds of stuff. Again, I'm an independent contractor, so I work with all kinds of different people out here in L.A. I sing, I play guitar, I play piano, I rap, I do voice acting, I do comic acting on film. I'm writing 2 books right now. I've got a Netflix documentary pitch that's out there. Yeah, we're working, so we're doing things.
I just asked him if he's like still singing and recording, and look at all the things you're doing. You're keeping yourself a little bit busy.
too many to recount right here, but yes. Hustling.
And hustling. You're hustling. Yeah, and you're in LA. That's where hustlers hustle. Yeah.
That's what we do out here.
Yeah, I mean, think of the people that you could listen to on Rappers Don't Golf. You could listen to golf legend Tony Jacklin, LPGA legend Dottie Pepper, OptiShot Golf president Kevin Johnston, Action Network's Jason Sobel, Downtown Rams editor Blaine Krizak, PGA Tour caddy and golf analyst Brett Bernheisel. Interview with the race car driver, Dina, is it Paris?
It's Paris Parisi, yeah. Parisi. 54-year-old woman who still races cars competitively and now, started this in her mid-30s. Gotta love Dina.
Yes. Now, Dina, you know, 54-year-old woman, she's young, and why shouldn't she still be racing cars? She's not old.
Absolutely. That's what I said to her. I go, you know, after you get over the fact that it's crazy as hell to race cars, I'm totally with you.
Yeah. As long as she's not doing any stock car races. Those races are crazy, crazy, crazy. Now, what did you learn from Action Network's Jason Sobel, who, by the way, action means gambling. So that's what Jason is really into. He's tell us about it.
Well, Jason was very kind to come on the pod with me, and he's been somebody that I've been in touch with over the years, who's given me some notes about some of the stuff I've written. Jason is kind of another one of these guys that had to pivot once Golf Channel kind of did the big cleaning out and move from Orlando to Stamford, Connecticut. And there were, I guess, hundreds of Golf Channel employees that were let loose when they moved.
Yes.
Jason was their big social media guy, and he made the pivot and moved to Action Network, which is basically, you know, a gambling site. And my other friend, Keith Stewart, out there in New Jersey, and shout out to Keith, this is kind of where the needle is moving with golf, Danielle, as you know. And, of course, gambling is becoming more and more mainstream and less, you know, something to be poo-pooed.
So, yes, in the back room.
You know, the PGA, the NFL, NBA, et cetera, they're all, you know, kind of getting in bed with it now. And so these type of sites like Action Network are becoming very prominent because gambling is now, you know, being advertised on these broadcasts when I'm watching the Genesis Invitational this weekend or whatever, right?
Yep.
So I guess it's interesting that without meaning to, I've had about three or four guests over the last couple months that are all starting to get into the gambling analysis industry. And I guess it is a very, very prominent industry now.
Kind of like stocks.
I guess, right?
Right, right. Yes, if you're in stocks.
I don't know how I feel about it. I have people on my Twitter that constantly go back and forth about whether they think that it's ethical or moral or not. I'm not a gambler myself. I learned my lesson when I was in high school by betting on the Buffalo Bills three straight times after they lost their first Super Bowl. They went to four straight Super Bowls. I kept thinking, they can't lose again. And they did. So at least I learned my lesson young.
Yes. Before you had too much money to lose. That's wonderful. But, you know, I have a little bit of a problem. You know, the fact that I can go to PGA Tour, and right now I look at leaderboard, TourCast, odds. Odds. You know, the PGA Tour is helping you figure out how to place your bets with the odds and to win odds. You know, it just feels like you're digging into my pocket.
Well, yeah, it feels like we're in Vegas now. And I mean that because, again, I go back to watching the Genesis coverage from this week.
Yeah.
And they're saying, you know, at the start of the round, Jordan Spieth had a plus 500 shot of winning this tournament. Granted, I'm just making that up.
Of course.
You know, it's tempting me to want to bet on Jordan Spieth or whoever to win this tournament.
Yes.
And that's very new. I guess, you know, the part of me that's a little more liberal says, we knew gambling was going on for all these years with bookies and whatever. At least we're cleaning it up a little bit so that instead of going to criminals, you're going to, like, official sports books or whatever. So I guess part of me is kind of cool with that. But I get why people are a little bit suspect about this entire industry kind of just very subtly gussying up to the PGA and the NFL and whatever else.
Yeah.
So I get that it's, you know, this is not an easy marriage here, and I think it's going to take a while for it to really sort itself out.
Yeah, here's another facet of all this. You know all the people who volunteer to run tournaments and they raise money that go to local charities? they're all working, you know. And what if the PGA Tour took all the gambling proceeds that they're getting, because they're getting their hand in there, they're making money on this, they could pay those people who are doing a lot of work for a whole week, and then they could take their own money and give it to the charities. That's where I've always wondered, if you're giving $14 million purse and $2 million for 4 days of work is going to one guy, one girl, they don't make that much, I understand. Okay, let's say a million maybe to the girls, $750,000. Why can't you just give the money to the charities and pay those poor people who are working so hard to raise money for charities?
You know, I think it's a rhetorical question, but I'll just say I agree. it's not even worth arguing with you. I totally agree. It seems almost like theater. That's the word that comes to mind, theater.
Oh, tell me more.
And granted, you know, if it's criticism that the PGA doesn't want to hear, well, you constantly talk about how charitable you are, PGA.
That's right.
It's all over all your TV coverage.
We're
so charitable. Talk about all the charity work we're doing.
Yes.
But again, Danielle, that doesn't sound that hard to do, and it's not being done. PGA, get it done.
Thank you. Thank you. Or you know, maybe all those volunteers should go on strike.
I mean, there are plenty of articles out there, listeners, if you want to see about how much of the charity actually goes to the charities versus not. And I don't want to get into a whole thing, but Deadspin did a whole deep dive on it years ago. I mean, it's out there. And the thing is, PGA, we want you to really help these communities. We want you to help grow the game with minorities and the, you know, girls and women and whatnot. We do. Do it. You know, I mean, I'm challenging the PGA with this statement. Do it.
Do it. Absolutely. I couldn't agree with you more. So let's go down the interesting path that Phil Mickelson has taken. Your thoughts.
Boy.
Oh, boy. Right? Your boy. Okay. He has sold his plane. You know, he has been having, it's said, by people I don't know. And I'm just, you know, hearing. Obviously, this is like, this takes us into rumor mongering. And it's an interesting place to go. You know, he's broke. How could he be broke? Because of gambling debts? Okay. And people were shocked that he must be in a hard place to sell the equivalent of his fourth child. That's what his plane meant to him. Now, he goes out and he gets lawyers to help the Saudis write the deal that they're going to present to lure the top players to them. And no cut, you know, you obviously will make money no matter what. In fact, we'll give you really good guys, so much money you can't walk away. And, so Phil's doing all of this because he wants to manipulate, you know, the PGA Tour to force them to create the PIP, to give $40 million away to top 10 guys who move the needle on social media. It's just money, 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 money. We're talking about a strata that I have no idea what it's like living in that world. How about you, Tucker?
No.
No?
I have been lucky enough to hang around that world out here in L.A. on occasion.
Yes.
Over the years.
Yes.
Got friends that live in that world, and must be nice. But as far as what Phil has said, I'm going to take a critical but, you know, somewhat even-handed approach to my response about Phil.
Okay.
I understand that there are pro golfers out there, and I don't think it's Phil, but there are pro golfers out there that could seriously benefit from the guaranteed money that the Saudi League is offering them. And I get that. You know, there is no guarantee every week when you go into these tournaments that you're going to make any money if you don't make the cut. And you're paying to be there, unlike, you know, the NBA or the NFL or whatever, where they're paying you no matter what. And you have that job security.
Right.
PGA, you're gambling on yourself. So I get that. But we do know all the reasons why Saudi Arabia is prickly as far as trying to get involved with. And those are legitimate reasons. Now, Phil's comments, whether they have any merit or not, the way they were made to Alan Shipnuck were crass. And Phil knows that he shoots his mouth off a lot. He knows this. They were crass. First of all, he says that he knows these people are shady MFers.
Uh-huh.
And then somehow defends trying to work with them.
Uh-huh.
This is troublesome for anybody that has any moral compass at all. Yes, we get that you need to make money. We get that maybe in your own mind, Phil, you're trying to strategize how to turn this into some way to negotiate a better deal with the PGA. But to say it the way you said it to Alan Shipnuck was not smart. It was just not, it was not a good look.
Right.
And that's the thing. Now, with Twitter and whatever, optics are the whole game.
Oh.
It doesn't matter if it's true or not. It matters how it looks. And it was not a good look for Phil.
Yeah, you know what was also interesting? When John Strege, you know, he's been writing for Golf Digest for years, and he's got five books out, and he said, you know, I wonder if Phil said all that off the record, and then Alan couldn't help but, you know, like, put it out there, because his book is now, like, the number one book in golf, period, end of a story, and it doesn't come out for 4 months, you know. So it's just, you know, this game never ceases to amaze, the intricacies and things. We have so much to talk about that have nothing to do with the actual sport. That blows my mind, you know, that we have it. So should I not be talking about it? How can I not talk about it? It's in your face.
Well, and you know, the other thing, Danielle, and I'll just throw this out there as more grist for the listener, but America should be criticized for plenty of things that we do. And I love my country, but I criticize it openly. I love it. I think that's part of being an American, is that our free speech entitles us to criticize our country openly.
Yes, and the guys...
There's plenty of things that America does wrong, folks. Plenty, especially with government policy. So we should be criticized equally to Saudi Arabia or anywhere else. And if we act like we're truly better than anywhere else, truly better, we're turning a blind eye to what we're doing wrong. That does not mean that I think America is worse than Saudi Arabia. I don't mean that. But I mean, be critical. Be, you know, be critical thinkers here.
Yeah.
America has its own issues, too. However, saying that, there's stuff going on over in Saudi Arabia that I definitely am critical of. And I think Phil or whoever else should be, too. I think that should be absolutely a part of the decision that these pros make if they decide to gussy up with the Saudi Arabian leagues. And I think it should also be part of their thought process with the PGA. I mean, again, every country should be criticized equally.
You know, and there we have it. In a nutshell, we have solved the problems on the PGA Tour.
It's everybody's fault, Danielle. We did it. Yeah.
I so enjoy talking with Tucker Carlson. Thank you so much for being on the show. I need to thank the people who make this show possible. I've got 2 minutes and 50 seconds to take care of my sponsors. Thank you for being on the air with me and being so willing to just lay it on the line.
Hey, Danielle, the only thing I'm going to say is you just called me Tucker Carlson, and I won't hate you for it, but Tucker Carlson, I'm coming for you, bro.
Oh.
It's been awesome being here, Danielle. Well, much love.
Tucker Booth. How did I do that? I am so sorry. This is Tucker Booth, okay? And he's a wonderful guy. He treated me so fine. Thank you to our sponsors. We're very honored to have the support of the Aloha Section PGA. The best way to get good at the game of golf is to learn from a teaching professional who spent considerable time becoming a PGA. That's indeed. The full PGA status takes study, passing courses. Sometimes that leads to becoming a PGA with an advanced degree. Claude Brousseau is frequently on the show with us. He's a PGA master. Because they love the game and they love teaching, they will definitely help you play better. Put this on your calendar. The Aloha Power Equipment's Megastore grand opening is coming next week. Aloha Power Equipment's new Megastore is next to Costco gas station on Alakava in Iwilei. You'll find all the Aloha Power Equipment you can count on, like riding mowers, robotic mowers, chainsaws, weed whackers, generators, and a lot more. Aloha Power Equipment in Waipahu and their mega store on Alakava across from Home Depot. That parking structure is there right next to, I should say, Costco. Now put power at your fingertips. Aloha Power Equipment. MD Restoration, flood or fire disasters. We've had many of those just in the last, since December when the Kona lows came through and really caused some havoc in our community, so much so that we need a little help from the federal government. Well, if something like that happens to you, you need help from MD Restoration. Any time of the day, right away, if disaster strikes your home or office, call MD Restoration. Licensed contractors, they can not only do the cleanup, they can do your repairs. Thank you for your mama. May you hit the sweet spot every time. I'm Danielle Tucker. This is The Golf Club.
You've been listening to the award-winning Golf Club radio show with Danielle Tucker on the Golf Club Network statewide. Tune in next week and we'll tee it up together only on The Golf Club.
Copyright 2022.